This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. For those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. If you contact me by mail, you can have a copy of this program on a CD. We will also take your prayer requests. If you go to my website, you can read my weekly meditation there. As well as re-listen to these programs there, you can actually download the program to your own computer if you would like. You can also email prayer requests from the website. So you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program if you would like to contact me. You'll need to contact me if you would like to be on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. Now today I want to read from 1 Corinthians 11. And we're going to read from verse 24, the doctrinal statement found in the New Testament with regard to the Lord's Supper. Verse 24 says, "And when he had given thanks," that is when the Lord had given thanks, "he broke it," that is, he broke the bread, "and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, or you show, or you preach the Lord's death till he comes.'" And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, just as I think good works are important to the Lord, and just as I think good works never saved anyone, but a saved person shows they're saved by their good works, I believe baptism is important to the Lord. But just as I don't believe baptism saves, only faith in Christ saves, yet I believe that baptism is important. And we have dealt for the last 2 weeks with the issue of some people wanting baptism to become effective in their salvation, bringing about their salvation in some way, making them children of God in some way, versus those of us who believe that baptism is symbolic and is a way to identify with the Lord and his resurrection. It's a way to be obedient to the Lord. It's a way to show our devotion to the Lord, but that it never saved anyone and never will save anyone. And so, But it is, even though it does not save, it is important. And so now we're going to look at this issue of the Lord's Supper. We've noted before that Satan has the tendency to confuse us. He says, well, if a Christian should do good works, then good works must make a Christian. And we pointed out that that just is not true. And again, if a Christian should be baptized, then getting baptized must make you a Christian. And again, we've proven that that just is not true, though in many cases that's the way the religious world has handled this truth. And now we're going to see that many people will say, well, if, or the Satan would like us to believe that if a saved person should remember the Lord in the Lord's Supper by taking a loaf of bread and a cup of wine in remembrance of the Lord, proclaiming his death till he comes, if they should do that, then surely by taking a piece of bread and a cup of wine and partaking in the Lord's Supper must save. In other words, there must be some sacred value, we would call it a sacrament, some sacramental value associated with the taking of a loaf of bread and a cup of wine. And I want to assure you again that it is not true. We're saved by faith. The Lord looks at our heart. But once we're saved, we manifest our salvation by these things, these ceremonies, and these works which we are pleased to do in order to please the Lord. Now, the way I see it is, if the Lord was willing to go to a place called Calvary, if he was willing to suffer for me in my place, if he was willing to die, the just one, for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God, and if I have come to the conclusion deep in my soul that Christ did this for me, then if the Lord asked me to crawl backward to California, wouldn't I want to do that? But he hasn't asked us to crawl backward to California. All he's asked us to do is to identify with him in the breaking of the bread. He's asked us, or in the baptism, identify with him in baptism, and to remember him in the breaking of the bread. Now you'll notice in our passage the reason for taking that loaf of bread and that cup of wine is the reason for doing it is not to be saved. It's not to put away sins. It's to remember him. The whole ceremony is sort of like a headstone that we would put on a grave. The headstone reminds us of the person who died. And it's a permanent marker reminding us of the person who died. Whenever we go to that grave, we see that permanent marker and we're reminded of that person who died. Well, how long will we be reminded of that person who's under the grave? Well, we'll only be reminded during our lifetime and sometimes less than that. But we will be reminded as long as that gravestone is there and as long as we are alive of the person who is under that gravestone. It's a memorial marker. And the Lord has wisely asked us to remember him by taking a loaf of bread and a cup of wine, and we are to do it until he comes. So we are proclaiming his death, but we are proclaiming it until he comes, which means that when we take the Lord's Supper, one of the things we are telling the world is that our Savior, our leader, is in heaven. He's living, and he's coming again. And we do expect him to come again. Now, I remember talking to a lady once, and she told me she had been raised in a church where when they took the bread and the wine, they were told that it put away their sin. There are some churches that preach that the bread becomes the body of the Lord and the wine becomes the blood of the Lord, and that they are really crucifying the Lord again, and it's a bloodless sacrifice. I don't think she went to a church that actually taught that, but she went to a church that taught something similar, and they said that when you actually partook of the bread and the wine, it became something more than bread and wine. And if you came and did it confessing your sin, that you could go away knowing you were saved. And she said, I would come away from there just feeling great, knowing that I had things right with God. And she said, before I'd get home, I'd either get mad at my children or my husband or say something that I shouldn't have said. And I would say, oh, now what am I going to do till the next time we take the Lord's Supper? How am I going to be sure that I have things, that I don't die before I get things right with God again? And she seemed to be basing at that time the whole hope of her salvation and the fact that she was participating in the Lord's Supper. But she began to listen to the radio and to some good Christian radio stations, and one day she found out that it was the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleansed her from all sin. And I don't remember which verse of Scripture it was that really opened her eyes to that truth, but she realized that it wasn't taking the emblems that saved her. It was the death of Christ that saved her, and she trusted in that, and she believed in that, and she never had to worry again about what happened between the time she took bread, between the points in her life where she took a loaf of bread and a cup of wine and remembered the Lord. It had been taught to her in a wrong way. She was told that it was a sacrament, and that in fact it was involved in some way in the saving of her soul. Friend, I hope you're not depending on the Lord's Supper to save you, and yet I hope you don't make too little of the Lord's Supper, that you don't believe that it's unimportant to the Lord. I'm associated with a group of Christians where this is the preeminent meeting in our worship of the Lord. We take the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day. Now, I realize that the early Christians probably did it on Saturday night just because of the way their calendar worked and because of the way their workday worked. It was their Sunday, Saturday night, because with the Jews, the day started at sundown. So it was their Sunday. It was their first day of the week, but they were remembering the Lord likely on what we would call Saturday night. But they were putting a preeminence on it. They were doing it together as a church. They weren't doing it as individuals. In Acts 20, it's quite clear that Paul waited 7 days to be with the Christians at Troas so he could be there when they broke bread. And when they broke bread, then he fulfilled the rest of the commission as well by teaching them and helping them to understand what they had in Christ. And so the commission is to make disciples, to baptize them and teach them all things. The people Paul was preaching to in Troas were already saved, but they came together to remember the Lord in the breaking of the bread, and then he preached to them until midnight. And in that story in Acts 20, a young man fell out of the window. Paul must not have kept him awake. He fell out of the window, got sleepy, and actually he died, and Paul was able to go down and revive him and hadn't give him back to those who loved him. It was a miracle that Paul was able to do this, because Paul was an apostle. But the real, even though that miracle occurred, and that's probably one thing they would remember about that particular gathering for the breaking of bread, the real important thing was is that the Lord appreciated them remembering him in this way. He's never forgotten because of this memorial supper. And because he wisely established this memorial supper, he's been remembered for 2,000 years. Someplace on the Lord's Day, throughout the day, there are Christians that are breaking bread and remembering the Lord. Some of them do it early in the day, some of them do it later in the day, but they're doing it. And they are rejoicing in the fact that they have a Savior like this who loved them and that they can depend upon. But folks, I hope you're not taking the Lord's Supper and thinking that in some way it's making you a better Christian. I hope instead you are taking the Lord's Supper for the right reason, recognizing that just before the Lord died, he instituted this feast. No longer would they be carrying out the Passover, which remembered their deliverance from Egypt. Now they would be carrying out the Lord's Supper, which would remember the Lord at the cross of Calvary, who fulfilled the type of the Passover lamb in Egypt. You'll notice that it was Passover. It was the Passover feast that was being kept when they established the Lord's Supper. So on the anniversary of the deliverance from Egypt, now the Lord is establishing this new thing because he's fulfilling the type of that deliverance that took place in the Old Testament. And now he's telling them there's going to be no need for additional lambs to be slain because I'm the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. They didn't understand yet that he'd be raised from the dead, but he still told them that when they did this, they would do it till he came. And Paul emphasizes that as he explains this truth. This do in remembrance of me, and as often as you do this, Paul tells us now, he explains this, as often as you do this, you do preach the Lord's death till he come. Ours is not a dead faith. Ours is a living relationship with the living Lord who has promised us he's coming again. And because this feast has been instituted, he's not been forgotten. He's not just a person in the history books. He is a real part of our lives personally and of our lives corporately because we remember the Lord in the breaking of the bread. But it's a remembrance feast. It's not a saving feast. It's a feast where we have fellowship together with him and where we do obediently worship him as he wants to be worshiped. But folks, don't ever depend on that feast to save you. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon those who have listened today and upon the program. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We just trust that these things are being made clear, that it's salvation by grace through faith. And when we have faith, then we do works. And when we have faith, then we get baptized. And when we have faith, then we remember the Lord. But none of those things really save. It's faith in Christ that saves. We pray for blessing upon that truth as we commit ourselves to thee in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.